This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Usual Suspects. Appreciate Antonio Holden. We'll get him in the next segment. But right now, I do want to welcome in a friend of the show. Great dude. And Jeff Blum joins us, getting ready. AT&T Sportsnet doing the game tonight. Astros, A's. Huge series in the Bay Area. And Blummer, before I do anything else, I want to preface the fact that we got rid of Barry for you, so you don't have to worry about him coming up with some lame-ass name that you have to use on the air. But in his place, I want to warn you that Jerry Rocha is with us. He's a comedian. He's in town doing some shows in Houston. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a great dude. But he's going to have some randoms for you that I have no control of. I want to throw that out right off the top, and I know you're prepared for it.
Yeah, there's nothing like a disclaimer on live air.
That's right, but I got to do it, because if I don't, then it's on my ass if things go haywire.
Nice to meet you, Jeff. How you doing?
Yeah, nice meeting you, too. I'm doing great.
Great, man. Nice.
All right, Blummer, set it up for us. I mean, this is a huge series. I've been telling people, look, they got the best road record in the American League. They got a better road record than the Red Sox, but I'm trying to take the spin of the positivity, because that last homestand was incredibly hard to watch and stomach and try and figure out, and I'm sure for you as well, because no one would have ever anticipated 9 straight home losses. The pitching's still doing what they do, but obviously the injuries are a huge factor right now, with the fact that you just have a lot of holes in that lineup.
Yeah, and that homestand was a little concerning, but the fact that you mentioned that they're on the road is probably the biggest thing, and I know that those guys in that clubhouse are probably looking forward to it too. Not that they don't like playing at home, but for whatever reason that we can't figure out, they just do not have the same kind of offense at home consistently. We saw, brilliance on the last game heading into the road trip, where they just lit it up and drove the ball out of the ballpark 5 times. So we know it's in there, mm-hmm. and that's probably what the most frustrating thing is knowing that they have that power potential, but it just shows up sporadically at home. But on the road, it's pretty consistent. They've got great numbers here in Oakland.
Let me ask you real quick before we get off into other topics, too. From an Oakland perspective, there's a team that for the last several years, Astros fans just kind of smirked off and said, oh, that's a young team, that's a number, money ball thing, but they're not going to keep the good players, and at the end of the year, they're not going to be a factor. This is a team that is not going away, and this is a team that went out and made aggressive moves before the trade deadline last month and has proven that they aren't going anywhere, are they?
No, and I think it was kind of interesting. If you watch the way teams kind of put their ball clubs together, you talked about the youth of the Oakland A's. We know they trade away a lot of talent to get young talent back. They don't go out too often and get that free agent guy that's going to help bolster their veteran rotation or something like that. They're going to wait and see about halfway through the season and kind of measure out and look at their projections and anticipate if they have the opportunity to sell or buy. And they kept the core of their offense intact. I think Chris Davis is a kind of an underrated West Coast type power hitter that doesn't get talked about a lot. Matt Chapman is their third baseman who's getting a lot of attention. But these guys play a good Oakland A baseball, get on base. They're gritty. They get big hits when they need them. They're not very good on defense. They've got reasonable starting pitching. But what you saw with them at the trade deadline is go out and get three closers or two closers in Jeurys, Familia, and Fernando Rodney. So they've got veteran closer types, but what they're trying to do is shorten that game and get their starters out of there quicker.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, you actually perfectly prefaced my next question, because you said the home offense is clearly there, right?
Yep.
How do you fix that? If you're in the clubhouse and you're in the middle of some weird home slump, but you're killing it on the road, is it some weird, like, are you overthinking it when you're at home? Like, how do you, like, I don't understand, I might be a dumb question or naive question, but is there a way to just kind of, like, does a team have to just kind of get together and go, all right, guys, what are we not doing at home? Like, what's the way that you would go about fixing that if you were a player?
I don't think it's a dumb question at all, because it's something that needs to be asked, because there's such a discrepancy in how well they play at home in comparison to on the road. Mm-hmm. And it was similar last year until they got to the playoffs, and then we saw them go off in the playoffs where it really proved to be home field advantage for them. You get to the point where you're like, hey, we'll work out of this. And then you play another series at home and you don't do what you want to do. And then you're like, okay, this is going to be the series. We'll turn around, boys. And then you don't do it. You go out on the road and you put up monster numbers and you come back home and you say, all right, we need to do this at home. And I think that's where they're at right now, is saying that they need to do this at home. And that's when you start to press a little bit and you start to squint a little bit more. You start to hold the bat a little bit tighter, because you said it right at the top of the show, is that the pitching hasn't changed. That luckily has been the one constant, is the starting pitching is going out there and shoving on a daily basis, no matter whether it's home or road. It's just a matter of when the offense can show up consistently, because realistically, they only need to go out there and score four runs.
Dude, with that pitching staff, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, now, okay, if you mind if I ask you another one of that, like, if you can put on, like, the player hat, right? What are you thinking in the dugout when you're not giving your pitcher run support? What is the, are you guys talking to yourselves? Is it, or do you just try to just, like, again, is it that situation if you don't want to overthink this? How, like, what goes on with the offense as they're watching their pitcher do a great job, but then inning after inning, they're coming up short?
I think you look at yourself as a collective unit and you try and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. But also recently they've had guys on the DL. So I think what they've started to do is kind of look a little bit in, you know, individually look at themselves a little bit. And when you start to do that, I think you start to get out of character. We heard Josh Reddick in an interview we had on air the other day, where he was saying, you know what, sometimes we try to step outside the box or try and step up, so to speak, and be the guy that can carry the team. But I think these guys understand that individually, other than a Correa, Altuve, and a Springer, you really can't, they don't have that kind of talent or character to go out and carry the team. And Josh said it perfectly. He said, we just need to get back to doing what each of us does well. Mm-hmm. And Josh, you know, he's going to sneaky pop you, get you out of the ballpark. He's going to get you some clutch base hits when he needs to. And that's when things started to snowball in that last game, is when every guy took care of their business the way they normally do. Once you try and do something that's greater than you actually are, that's when you get in trouble.
Right. Robert, where are we on the injuries? Because, I mean, here's the thing. I said this during the course
George
of the
week. Back.
What's that?
George Springer's back.
Springer's back, but again, are we going to, with Springer, is it going to be like a Correa where he comes back, but it's going to take a while to get the rhythm back, get back in the, you know, the major league pitching, you know, and adjust? Because to me, everybody is so calm around here. Like, as long as they get healthy, they're going to be fine. But God forbid, we don't know what's going on with Altuve. And every time you get an update that's positive, then all of a sudden there was a setback. But good thing was he took some BP, took some infield. But man, we can't get those guys back fast enough.
No, you're right. And the sooner you get them back, the sooner they're going to get comfortable. We saw Correa sneak in a couple of hits. He got a big bases loaded double. I think that's going to help the confidence of him. It's just a matter of time with those guys. Again, Major League Baseball is hard. And when they know that your timing is off because you're fresh off the DL, they're going to pick on you a little bit more. They're going to take advantage of the situation because you're not as locked in as you have been in the past. But you got to remember, baseball is not – It can be an immediate return type game, but we got to remember there's still 40 games left in the season. Yeah. And if these guys can show flashes of brilliance and then catch fire in the month of September, we're not even going to be remembering what the struggles were when they came off the DL. It's just a matter of time. But George hits well in this ballpark. He's hit well in this ballpark this year. And I think he also is looking forward to being the guy at the top of the lineup. And what that does is it pushes guys down in the lineup, mm-hmm. creates a little more depth. So you're not completely focused on 1-4. Now you've got to think about 1-7, because Marwin's going to get pushed down, Yuli's going to get pushed down, and then things start to look a little bit more normal.
But Blummer, just an addition to that too, because even if you're getting everybody back, and like I said, maybe some guys sooner than others, but I went on record as saying, if before the waiver deadline passes at the end of the month, if they could add one more bat, it could only help them. I called it the Aflac, but their supplemental insurance. One, it guards against if there is some delays in guys coming back, and two, because of the fact that we saw that, you know, the Tyler White and the J.D. Davis and the Fishers just haven't hit the ball. Yeah, Tony Kemp's been a nice surprise, but because this isn't last year, this is this year, and you might be in a dogfight all the way to the end, another bat could only help them.
Yeah, it is completely different than it was last year, where they needed rotation, and they got Justin Verlander this year. You know, in the offseason, they pick up Gerrit Cole, so their bullpen, I mean, their rotation's even deeper. They picked up a couple of guys in the back end of the bullpen, and that's gotten deeper. But I'm with you in the sense that, you know, one more bat could really be a nice fit in this Astros lineup, because, you know, nothing against the young guys like a Derek Fisher or Kyle Tucker or some of these guys they tried out in left field. But if one of these veteran guys, you know, around the big leagues that has a proven bat and puts together good ABs and plays a decent left field, if one of those guys sneaks through waivers and becomes available, I would like to be in the so-called war room with Jeff Luno and wonder if he's making some phone calls to see if he can't acquire one of those guys.
No doubt,
dude. Now, Jeff, I have a quick question for you, if that's okay.
Yeah,
I would love if you.
That put me on my toes. I'm ready.
If you want to come down and watch me headline the joke joint, I'll let you watch the game on my phone, and you can like call it from the green room if they'll let you do that. You're more than welcome. But do you mind if I shift gears completely and keep it on baseball, but talk about something else? Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Where do you stand on Acuña getting hit on his, where the bench is cleared and all that? And where do you stand on that? Like, is that something that the pitcher should have done, or is that cowardly by the pitcher? Like, as a hitter, after you hit a home run, if you're hot, should you really be worried?
He hit a home run in 5 straight games, 3 straight leadoff games.
Should you, do you have to be worried that the guy is going to throw basically a tantrum and try to hit you? I mean, right? I mean, isn't that crazy?
No, I'm sorry. I'm chopping at the bit because it's kind of this is probably going to get me in trouble, but it's a bitch move. You can't do that. If a guy is raking and you hit him, that sends an awful message that you just told everybody on the planet that you are not good enough to make an adjustment to get this
there
guy
it is.
Out.
Thank you. It's a coward. It's such a cowardly play.
Did you see Gardenhire's quote?
No.
Gardenhire said if he was pitching for me, I'd put him at leadoff the next game and let the other team have at him. I thought that was awesome.
I just don't think it's right that if you can't do your job, that you take that. Like, it's like if I'm not a good waiter, should I immediately just start spitting in everybody's food? Like, no. Like, that's just a stupid thing to do. Like, if that, and I'm not saying that guy's a bad pitcher, but clearly that guy was terrified of being another statistic on Acuña's run, right?
Yep.
And that is, I just think that, like, wouldn't you rather go out as the guy who silenced him by your pitching and not by, like, what you said, making such a cowardly play?
Well played.
No, you need to be able to make the adjustment. Now, if Acuña went out there, hit a bomb, bat flipped, moonwalked first.
Right, mooned him when he hit the home plate.
Then you got an issue.
Right.
Real quick before I let you go, Blummer, because I was hounding you on Twitter about this, but it's a curiosity of mine. I know Springer, when he was slumping before the break, hit the home run in the All-Star game, and they were using that bat like it was a trophy until it cracked. What's the protocol these days with guys and bats? How long are they sticking with one bat? Are they rotating? Obviously, we know it's a superstitious game, and if a bat's got some hits in it, they're going to use it till it cracks. But how often are guys running through bats? How many bats do they go through in a year?
It depends on make, model, size, weight, handle. You know, if thinner the handle, the more the bat's going to break. Thicker the handle, the more durable it's going to be. But every guy has – they'll go out to the game with about 3 or 4 bats all pine-tarred up and, you know, sticky and ready to go. But if there's one – like you saw Alex Bregman through that month of June. I think he used the same bat through the entire month of June until he broke it.
Wow.
And that's what guys do. You don't use it for batting practice. You use a separate bat, but you have a gamer. And you use that thing until you use it when it gets hot. If it's not hot, put it in the tank and go get you a new one
nice.
If you find one that has hits in it.
That's awesome.
Hey, buddy, cool.
We appreciate it. As always, we're going to be glued to the TVs watching the call this weekend. You and TK, I assume, is back.
Nice to meet you, man.
Fans back together.
You got the whole crew back together. We're looking forward to it. Jeff Blum, AT&T Sportsnet. Always a good follow on Twitter as well. Blummer, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, fellas. You too. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Jeff Blum back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.